There are actually four phases of water.
This is 7 minutes of BS.
Building science with a beat.
I'm Dan Morrison, editor of Pro Tradecraft.
There's liquid, solid, vapor, and adsorbed.
And that is Dr. Joe Stiebrick of buildingscience.com, who's here to talk about water that doesn't fit in a glass. Adsorbed water with a D, as opposed to absorbed with a B.
Adsorbed water occurs when water molecules actually stick to a surface. Think of a golf ball sticking to a surface. So you have one layer, a monolayer, of adsorbed water.
A monolayer of water is a layer of water one molecule thick.
And a second layer of water molecules stick to the first layer, but they're actually sticking through the first layer to the surface. And so they're not as tightly stuck as the first layer. And then you have a third layer and a fourth layer and a fifth monolayer. And we call this adsorbed water. And as the relative humidity increases, the layers of adsorbed water increase.
Wait, why?
Nobody knows why.
Vapor pressure?
This has nothing to do with vapor pressure.
Is it relative humidity?
This is relative humidity. We don't know why that happens. We just that it freaking does. Now, as the number of monolayers increases, water flows from more of those layers to less of those layers. We call that process surface diffusion.
Usually when we think of diffusion, it's water molecules moving through a solid material like drywall. This diffusion moves molecules from more to less, but it moves them to cover a surface more evenly. This is different than that slippery layer on my back deck, where shade and moisture have harbored microscopic organic growth of tiny banana peels, which is why they're so slippery. Okay, that's not true, but this is. Adsorption actually does happen inside the deck boards on the surface of the wood cells where water used to be when the tree was growing. Water covers the outside of those cells as a monolayer, and additional monolayers can build up until the adsorbed water is back to back and belly to belly. This adsorbed water in or on wood or any organic material is potential mold food.
Let me tell you about mold. Mold needs liquid water, but yet mold can grow in environments where the relative humidity is 70 to 80%. Where the hell is the liquid water?
In the water pipes?
What happens is that the water molecules stick to the surface, and you have pores in the surface. You have big pores and you have small pores. The small pores get filled up with adsorbed water before the big pores do. And just before they get completely filled, there's a depression, there's a curvature. We call that curvature a meniscus, after the Greek moon. And Lord Kelvin showed that you have a significant drop in vapor pressure when you have a curved surface, and that leads to capillary condensation in the pores.
Condensation is when water transforms from vapor to a liquid. We usually talk about condensation as a response to a dropping temperature. This form of condensation is caused by dropping pressure in the presence of porous material, like my back deck or your drywall.
And the capillary condensation provides the liquid that allows mold to grow on paper-faced gypsum board at 70 and 80%, whereas it's not going to grow on glass because it's not as porous until you get 100%.
So, high humidity allows moisture to deposit itself in the pores on a surface. It builds up layers until it almost fills the pore, at which point it becomes a monopuddle, basically.
There's another thing that water does. It likes to stick to hydroxyls.
Not those old Oreo cookie knockoffs.
OH units.
An OH unit is a single oxygen and a single hydrogen bonded together.
And this is a big deal with soils engineering. Expansive soils are a problem if they change moisture content.
Because clay is like a big hydroxyl layer cake.
So you want the expansive soil to be either always wet or always dry.
Or
make it so that the water molecule can't stick to any hydroxyl.
Problems with clay soils happen when the soil gets wet because the soil molecules actually get bigger, causing slabs to shift and doors and windows to stop working. One solution is usually to keep them from getting wet in the first place, which can be a challenge.
So one of the guys that taught me this, his nickname was Dr. Dirt, and he was famous because he saved Nellis Air Force Base's runway. Nellis Air Force Base is outside of Las Vegas, and it's got one of the longest runways in the world, 18,000 feet long. It can take a space shuttle. Now, it was wobbly jobbly, and Dr. Dirt put a small drip irrigation system under the runway that made the soil always the same moisture content. Brilliant. He fixed one of the Las Vegas casinos by, instead of a drip irrigation system, he injected sugar into the ground, and the sugar bonded to the hydroxyls, so the water molecules weren't able to get there. I call that a very sweet solution. This is amazing stuff. I mean, for, you know, simple solutions. I remember when I was flying back with him, wicked sense of humor. We're dealing with a subdivision failure in the mid-1980s with a production builder in Denver, Colorado. And they, you know, the soils were
wobbly jobbly.
Engineers wanted to vent crawl spaces and vent the area under a basement slab to try to dry out the moisture. And there was no way of making that work. So Dr. Dirt proposed putting a polyethylene skirt 8 feet wide around the entire perimeter of the foundation, 18 inches below the dirt, so the water would be drained away. And then I put in a continuous polyethylene ground cover. He called it a diaper. You know, young Joseph, you're putting in a plastic diaper, but you need a skirt with that diaper. God, I love that guy.
We love you, Dr. Joe. This is Dan Morrison reminding you that you get paid for what you do and what you know. There's only so much you can do, but information is infinite. 7 Minutes of BS is a production of the SGC Horizon Media Network.